I'm talking about the quantum noises in signal recycling interferometers, which is just the optical noise Kip has talked about, because it comes from the quantum fluctuation of the optical fields. And this is based on the work Sandra Bonanno and I have done in the past year. Here is a signal recycling interferometer, and we show that it can beat the standard quantum limit. The standard quantum limit comes from modeling the interferometer as a successive measurement of free mass displacement. And in this process, the more precise each position measurement, there will be a larger kick in the test mass momentum. This is the Heisenberg microscope. Here we have a test particle, and there's a lens. For example, if we suppose there are n photons coming in the experiment, there's a position uncertainty which is proportional to 1 over the square root of n, and there's also going to be a momentum kick proportional to square root of n. This momentum perturbation will enter the evolution of the displacement and create noise. In a real laser interferometer gravitational wave detector, the situation is similar. In this port, we have a photon detection, and there's going to be shot noise, which is just the photon counting noise, which is proportional to 1 over the square root of power. And when the laser power is really large, there's also fluctuation in the laser power and producing another noise due to radiation pressure fluctuation, which is proportional to square root of laser power over m, where m is the mirror mass. We characterize the noise by noise spectral density, which is the noise power per unit bandwidth, which is related to RMS noise by if you have a signal frequency m in a bandwidth of delta f, and the RMS noise is the square root of the spectral density times the bandwidth. Now we have two noises here, and the total spectral density would be the sum of the spectral densities of the shot noise and radiation pressure noise plus a possible correlation term. In the measurement, there's a constraint due to the uncertainty principle of the optical field, which says the product of the shot noise and radiation pressure noise minus the square of the correlation is greater than the standard quantum limit squared over 4. The standard quantum limit is a frequency of motion, it's a function of motion frequency, which is 8 h bar over m omega squared l squared. M is the mirror mass, and l is the arm cavity length. It turns out, in LIGO 1 interferometers, there is no correlation, and the product of the two noises is greater than this. So the sum of the two noises is greater than the standard quantum limit, which has the magnitude of, for mirror mass, of 30 kilograms and arm cavity length of 4 kilometers, and frequency at 100 hertz, it will be 2 times 10 to the minus 24 hertz minus 1/2. This is the LIGO 2 interferometer currently proposed. It turns out if the correlation is not zero, there is no limit in these quantum noises because there's a correlation term. If we give an example where the correlation is real and negative, and there's equal sign in this uncertainty principle, and there's equal shot and radiation pressure noise, then the total noise beats the standard quantum limit when the correlation grows. In practice, this standard quantum limit can be beaten by several proposed methods building up the correlations. First is by manipulating the optical fields without changing the optical configurations. Second is by changing the interferometer dynamics, makes the mirror like non-free masses. For example, the optical bar detectors proposed by Berginsky and Khalili. There are other drastic redesigns, for example, the spin mirror interferometers, going to be taught by Patricia Perdue. In our signal recycling interferometer, there's a well-known optical resonance and also applied to experiment. For example, as Dennis has talked about, there's a resonance at a frequency for which the round trip phase in the entire interferometer is 2 pi n, and it has the width, which is inversely proportional to the storage time of photons. But there are new things in this interferometer. First, there is correlation in the shot noise and radiation pressure noise. If we look at the signal recycling mirror, the light coming out from the arm cavities some of them leak out to contribute to the shock noise, while the other part go back to contribute to the radiation pressure force, so that the radiation pressure noise and the shock noise are correlated. In this sense, the total noise, the standard quantum limit, is not necessarily a limit. In more detail, actually the optical field fed back into the arm cavity will contain some information of the displacement of the mirrors. So effectively, the radiation pressure noise will be depending on the mirror motion. In Fourier domain, we can write out the radiation pressure noise as a sum of the of a fluctuation plus a response part, depending on different frequencies of mirror motion. The response function of this radiation pressure force to displacement has a double role, actually. In one sense, it is the response of the optical field due to an external driving. But in the other sense, if we write out the equation of motion of the mirror in Fourier domain, we can see that the left-hand side is the reduced mass of the mirrors. Here is the acceleration in Fourier domain, will be equal to the total force, which is the sum of the gravitational wave force plus the fluctuation part plus another part which is linear in mirror displacement, which can be regarded as minus k times x. This k is like the Hooke's constant, but it is frequency dependent. We draw this k, the magnitude and phase of k, in this graph depending on frequency. We can say that this k is almost constant and real for low frequencies. But for larger frequency, there's inside K another resonance, one resonance. This is due to the optical resonance of the signal recycling neuron. This, if we look at the equation of motion, we can simulate the motion of the system as a massive spring, which has an internal mode and damping, connected to a test particle with the mass mu. So for low frequency motion, the spring always can respond to the test mass motion, and it is like under a constant k. This gives one resonance. This is the ordinary resonance for spring test mass system, with the frequency k over mu square root proportional to the square root of power. At high frequencies, this internal mode will be excited, and we have another resonant frequency of the system. Now, if we draw the noise curve, the spectral density of this system, for comparison, we draw the standard quantum limit and two mechanical resonant frequencies. This is frequency in units of Hertz, and this is the square root of spectral density. We can see that there are two dips of the noise curve instead of only one in the LIGO, in the low power case, as Dennis has talked about. There's another dip due to the other resonance. And at the two places, we have two dips and beats the standard quantum limit by a factor of 2 over a bandwidth of delta F over F. So this shows we have a resonant response to gravitational wave. And so actually correlation is built up in a clever way. Our conclusion is that the signal recycling interferometer behaves like an optical spring with two resonances, just like that spring. And the quantum noise goes down and beats the standard quantum limit. So the standard quantum limit originating from a free mass is not relevant. But practically, there's a thermoelastic noise, which is very important, should be lowered in order that this all works. And Richard O'Shaughnessy is going to talk about this. Thank you.